John chapter number 8 tonight. Title of tonight's message is The Great Debate. If you find yourself in a debate with the Bible or the God of the Bible, you're on the wrong side. Am I on, Joe? All right. When the Pharisees come and they challenge the Lord Jesus Christ in theology, in practice, in anything, you just look at it and go, you fool, what are you doing? Hey, we do the same thing, don't we? We challenge God and somehow tell God, you don't know what you're doing, and if I was in charge, I would do better with this, I would know better. And, you know, as we look at this, he's going to go back and forth. Let's read verse 20, John chapter number 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. You read that and go, wow, those are some strong words. And that they are. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you again for those faithful missionaries that serve throughout the world. Lord, as I look on our so-called youth choir tonight, there's more people than this platform can hold. Yet at the same time, there are faithful servants throughout this world that have 3, 4, maybe a dozen to which you are pleased with. God, thank you for what we have here. And God, we lift up those that serve abroad and have taken the message of the gospel to those that have never heard. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them, that you'd strengthen them, and Lord, again, just have your hand upon them. I pray for service here tonight. God, again, as we look at your word and our challenge tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be drawn closer to thee and evaluate our standing and our understanding of you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Pharisees, would regularly try and go against the things that God would say. Finding myself in, you know, as a father and things, sometimes authority is challenged. And I understand that, and I try to be gracious with it. I'm not always good at that. Because I recognize there might be a possibility that I have misspoken, have made a claim that is not true, had a misunderstanding. I know you're thinking that's impossible. My children are floored by that, even hearing that. But when you debate with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never on the right side if you're against him. You won't ever catch the Lord in a mistake or a mishandling of anything. So here, he speaks these words. He speaks, and we read this and think, wow, the Lord is so sharp with his teaching and preaching here. In verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. You go, whoa, where's the grace? Where's the, you know. But can I tell you, when he spoke to the Pharisees and the religious officials, he was very forward. And you and I would look at this approach and go, well, that's a hard approach. That's not going to work. But there are situations and circumstances when that is right and it is okay. Sometimes you get a little confrontational with someone, and I don't think arguing and fighting over the gospel is ever the right way. And if you get into a point of contention, it's just pride against pride, and I understand that. But sometimes there's a strong presentation, which met with a strong presentation may do some good. We find that right here. Again, they're challenging him. And he says, and ye shall die, and ye shall die in your sins. verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Double down. Maybe he misspoke. No. I know exactly what I'm saying, he says. What an awful thought that would be, to die in your sin. Very straightforward, 100% truth. Say, I don't know about that. Look at verse 25 now. Say, how far are we going to go? We're going to end at verse 36 tonight, all right? Just so you know where we're at, all right? They ask this question in verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? With statements like that previous, they just kind of took a step back and said, wait a second, who are you? Good question. I think that's a good question. Good questions deserve good answers. And Jesus gives them a good answer. And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I like the dialogue here. I like it back and forth a little bit. They challenge, he responds, they give what are you going to kill yourself? And he says, here, let me explain it as clear as crystal. He says, without me, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. And then they ask the question, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I am unto you from the beginning. I'm the same person I've always claimed to be. John chapter number 1, he is the Word. He's the light. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Messiah. And that's who he's been saying ever since. But in verse 26, what do we see? I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Look at verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. You know, you wonder and think, man, even the teachings of Jesus, they didn't understand. How could they not understand? How could someone, imagine if we could transport ourselves back in time, Benjamin, and sit there and go, oh, I wish I was just with Jesus. It would make all perfect sense. Maybe not. Because he's pretty clear right here. And the Bible says in verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And yet he speaks of deep things and says that even a child can understand. So what is the conflict? Is it the message? No. It's the hearer. Sometimes we just don't want to listen. Sometimes we don't want to hear. Sometimes we don't want to see. Sometimes our pride gets in the way. And sometimes we have a hard time handling truth because our pride gets in the way, whether it's the gospel or anything else. Why didn't they understand? Was it not clear? It was very clear, Mr. Colopy. Very clear. So why didn't they understand? Because they didn't want to understand. This is a demonstration of how you could live in the time of Christ and not understand who he was. In verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as of my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Look at this statement. For I do always those things that please him. As a dad, sometimes we have successful weekends. Say, what does that mean? That means everybody's happy. Sunday night, we go to bed, homework's done. There was great rejoicing on Saturday. We did something fun, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we clean the basement. And it's like, oh, what did we do this week? Oh, yeah, we cleaned. We did this. And you just don't make everybody happy. When the basement gets clean, Sarah's happy. The kids aren't happy. When we're outside playing and playing games and going here and there, the kids are happy. And, well, you know, sometimes those that take care of the house aren't so happy. That's an overwhelming thought that anyone could please God at every moment of their existence. Again, consider the difficulty in pleasing your family or a boss more than one day at a time. And now what does it say here in verse 29 about Christ? For I do always those things that please him. Every single thing he did was pleasing to God, was pleasing to the Father. Now, this does not negate the fact that we can, through denying our flesh, live our lives in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And that is what we should strive for. Can we say always? Now, that's hard, Jacob. I would say impossible. But that ought to be our goal. Well, I can't do always. Can you do some? Mostly? More times than not? Occasionally not? Shouldn't our life be about serving the Father? Shouldn't our life be about serving God? Shouldn't everything in our life please the Lord? And whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. We sing the songs. Just because maybe we can't do it always doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it sometimes or as much as we possibly can. So when we evaluate in our own life, and we take a step back and look at that and go, all right, well, is this pleasing to the Father? What'd you do today? Well, we came to church and now we're back here. Well, there was like 10 minutes in between that. You know what I'm saying, Seth? What'd you do with that? What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I'm going to go to work. Can you use your work to please God? Yes. Yes, you can. Well, I got college. Can you go to college and please God? Sam? Yes. You can come to school, please God. Your recreation ought to be pleasing God. We ought to strive to please God in everything that we do. What a great example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. For I do all things, for I do always those things that please him. Verse 30. You may read this passage and go, those were hard things that he said back there. Look at what it says in verse 30. And as he spake those words, many believed on him. No, hard preaching doesn't work. Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. Well, I don't like when people tell me that I've done wrong. Well, grow up. You sound like you're 8 years old. When God tells you you're doing something wrong, well, I'm not going to go back to that place anymore. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. Because every time I read it, it's correcting me. Can't you just leave me alone? I've heard that before. But what it says here is, as he spake those words, many believed on him. Hard and truthful words did produce some fruit. Where was he? He was in the treasury of the temple. Pharisees around. Some Pharisees said, you know what? Took off the garment and followed. Some people that were just there standing there listening followed. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Understand that this is not salvation. It said first to those that believed. If you continue, this is discipleship. Hey, if you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to take a key feature that you continue in the Word of God. That's what it says, right? Isn't that what it says? I think that's what it said. And said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. How do we make disciples? Through the word of God. How do we maintain discipleship? Through the word of God. That's what we need. I believed, and now isn't that enough? No, because there's something about this book that transforms us from the inside out. Well, I'm gonna get clean my own way. No, that's not how it works. It's the word of God. That's what Jesus said. You know, there's a There's a lot of movements in Christianity that come and go, and an attempt to reach people with the gospel, I would say, maybe. They have programs and things. But if it's not in the Word of God, if, hey, we got this program or we got this thing and it's just an activity to try and get people to church, that's not how disciples are made. It's the Word of God that makes and maintains disciples. I'm all about having fellowship and all of that, but please understand that the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God is what changes our lives. This isn't the Lions Club. It's not the 4-H Club. This is the church. The pillar and ground of truth as we hold in our hands. As he continues these thoughts, maybe verses you've heard before, maybe even heard quoted in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Many secular colleges and schools have this imprinted upon their archways and within their classrooms. Even the world will quote this verse. Rarely is the Bible credited, because the key to verse 32 is verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This isn't just an increase in knowledge and understanding and education, but in Christ himself. So we ask the question, free from what? "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free in what way? Freed from our sin and from the consequences of our sin. Let's look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." If we follow the law, it'll take us right to death. But if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, see, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But we don't want to die in our sin. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Freed from sin and the consequence of our sin, which is death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. So how do we do that? Well, John 17. How do I get free? John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So again, as we read that verse, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's not a secular textbook. That's not reasoning. That's not philosophy or psychology. That is the truth of the Word of God. I was talking to our Sunday school class this morning, quick history lesson or civics lesson, and I'm encouraged by this. 3 weeks ago, approximately 3 weeks ago, the Speaker of the House was ousted. Is that correct, Mr. Parrott? I'm checking you. Mr. Kevin McCarthy, 8 people said, "We want you out," and they voted, and he was gone. For the last 3 weeks, there's been no Speaker of the House. There's been some trouble. I would have been happy with Jim Jordan, honestly, but the more times they voted, the less votes he got. So he's finally said, "Fine, I'm out." So closed-door meetings, whatever it is, new guy comes out. His name's Mike Johnson. Up until last Wednesday, I've never heard of Mike Johnson before in my entire, I mean, pretty common word, though, Mike and Johnson, but I have not heard of this man. I don't know where. Honestly, I didn't even know where he was from. I know now. They asked Mr. Johnson, after he is voted in as Speaker of the House, "What is your worldview?" He said, "Get your Bible. That's my worldview." Did he say those things in the meeting? I don't know, but I'm all about it. pastor I read testified of this. I met Mike Johnson. He was the first person that, when I was getting into church, he met me. He was our young adults pastor down in Louisiana, he said. And I showed up in late October, and him and his wife invited me in. And that Halloween, we went door-to-door visitation, trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike Johnson makes no apologies. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Am I right, Mr. Parrott? That's what I'm seeing. So that I say, well, praise the Lord. Hey, how are you going to clear things up? How are you going to be set free from your sin? That word right here. It's not psychological knowledge. It's not, hey, the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? The Word of God is the truth. I'll take it. Free from what? Free from our sin through the Word. To do what? If I'm set free, now what do I do? 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I hope you ask questions when you read the scriptures. It's good. Because there's answers in the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now that I'm free, I can do whatever I want, right? Not exactly. You're not to use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. It is not license to just go do whatever you want. You're to use your freedom to serve the Lord as servants of God. Free from the consequence of my sin. Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. In verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God. See, that's what happened. We got freed from our sin. And now what? Are become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me help you with this. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5 and verse 1. I hate to have to do this. Let me backtrack on my political talk here for a second. I do not think Mike Johnson is perfect in any way to be in politics. I'm sure there's something somewhere, somehow. I don't think he's the second coming of Christ. I'm just saying it was good to see someone reference the scripture as his political point of view. That's all I'm saying. If you got dirt on him, great. I don't know. It's just better than what we've had is what I'm saying. Someone that is vocal and outspoken. I see him kneeling in the Capitol building with other people praying about decisions. And I think, that can't be that bad. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Number one, we've been free from what? Our sins and their consequences through the Word of God. For what purpose? To serve the Lord. And be careful that you not return to what you once were. Don't say, okay, lock me up. This isn't like Andy Griffith, Otis, where you just let yourself back into the jail cell. I'm back again. Here I am. No, why would you do that? You've been set free from that. He says, stay away from that stuff. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In our garage, we have more stuff than we have space. Anybody else's garage like that? We have to stack things. We've got, Sam, your garage is like that too? We have stuff in our garage. And there's toys and there's bikes. And the children are very careful to put things away right where they got them out. The other day, I was trying to get to the car stuff. I have it somewhat organized. The car stuff's in the back left. And if you need anything, go ahead, help yourself. I'm walking back there. I come out, and I don't know how it happened, but interwoven between my legs, between my knees and my ankles, is more fishing line that I don't know where it came from. I didn't see it because it's completely clear. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, just spending time around that stuff is going to pull you back down. Stay away from that. Well, I have liberty. Hey, be careful with your liberty, he says. Yes, you've been set free, but use the word of God. Use it to serve the Lord, and don't return to the old ways, he says. John chapter number 8. In verse 33. They answered him. So here's the response, back and forth. Right? This is what we call a debate. They answered him. We be Abraham's seed. Look at this bold, brilliant statement. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Hey, what are you talking about? We're of the seed of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. Bring me a coin. Right? Whose face is on that right? At the moment they're saying this, they're in bondage. To Caesar. They spent almost 500 years in bondage to the Babylonians and to the Persians and to the Greeks. Isn't this how the lost views themselves? Hey, you're caught up in the consequences of your sin. No, no, no. We're fine. No, you're not. In bondage and don't even recognize it. Man's got some problems. So what are those problems? Number one, they love themselves. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's a problem. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 7. Ever learning. Oh wait, no. In verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They love their self. They love their pleasure. 1 John chapter number 2, they love the world. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the love of money. Four basic problems of man. No, no, we're fine. No, no, you're not. You're in love with the wrong things. You love yourself. You love this world. You love money. And you love pleasure more than you love God. Therefore, you're a servant to sin. John chapter number 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily. Verily means of a truth. Hey, truly. I really, really say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, I'm thankful that I've been delivered from the bondage of sin. Romans chapter number 6. Starting in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye were the servants of sin, that ye were the servants of sin. Isn't that a blessing? But ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. It's not in a religious system, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in your own self, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness now. We're no longer servants to sin. We've been set free from that, but we are now the servants of righteousness. Lost man, looking for self-gratification, self-propagation, self-preservation. Those are the three desires of the fallen nature. And everything a lost man does to satisfy one of those. As we go back to John chapter number 8. Who controls you? If you're living in the flesh, it's your sin. If you're living in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And those two things war at each other all the time. Problem is, I can't shed that flesh. Not yet. One day, though. One day, this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. But I don't get to pick that day. God picks that day. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Again, we're not going to be in these bodies forever. Our souls are redeemed. It's a pain because our souls are redeemed in these unredeemed bodies. So we're still going to struggle with sin. Reality is that when we read a verse like this, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever, or abideth ever. Truth of the matter, if you were a head of a house, servants come and go, but the son always stays, right? If I had someone working at the house, maybe had someone mowing your lawn one day or something like that, they're not going to do that forever, plowing or whatever it is. But your children, doors always open to them. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Last verse, verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. As we said before, connected to verse 32, it's not a new knowledge that we need, but the truth. And the son is that truth. I think it's interesting how it's written. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The son and truth are interchangeable in that, telling me that they both have equal value. The Son is truth. Hey, if you ever wonder what the truth is, find out what Jesus said on something. Well, I'm going to talk to my professor. I'm going to talk to my neighbor. How about you find out what Jesus says? That'll be the best thing, because he's always truth. If you like to watch the news, that's fine. You're probably miserable. Because there's not good news out there. But if you go and search the scriptures and you spend time in the Word of God and you follow those red letters as we saw tonight, how about there's joy in there? There's hope. There's truth. You at least know what the truth is. This world will lie to you. The devil's the father of lies. If he's talking, he's lying. If Jesus Christ is speaking, please know this. It's true. Well, what does he say about anything? Go ahead, ask him. He's talked about it all. Find out what Christ says about something, and then you'll have the truth. The great debate. If you're on the other side of Jesus Christ, if you're sitting across from the table, well, I just don't see it how Jesus sees it. You're on the wrong side. And that's what we found here tonight. Say, well, he was so sharp with his words. If you shall die in your sins... And many believed. Remember that. Sometimes, I'll show you this one verse. Jude. The book of Jude. Second to last book of your Bible. And if some have compassion, making a difference, say, see, Pastor, where's the compassionate words? Well, there is time for that. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even their garments spotted by the flesh. And some, you just got to open up, split open hell for a little while, say, look down in there. That's going to be you if you don't turn around. You scared me. Well, that's truth. Another time, hey, look on the cross. Look at the grace that he demonstrated in the love. Some with compassion. Depends on the person. The Pharisees, he was point blank, forward, straightforward. If you die in your sins, you're going to be dead forever. We want you. Thought so. And that's how Jesus taught that day. We see in the book of Luke, it says that he preached with, and taught with gracious words. Please understand, not every time does he talk. He's very compassionate to the sinner. He's sharp and hard towards those religious officials. You know what sometimes we need? I feel like sometimes we get a little religious. We just need the Lord Jesus Christ to just undo us for a minute. Well, he's going to hurt my feelings. Maybe our feelings ought to be hurt a little every now and then. I'm not saying you be mean, but it'd be good to trample on some apostate thoughts. How about that? All right, let's all stand before I get myself in trouble. Next time we get together, it will be November. And then we'll blink twice, and then it'll be Christmas! No school this Thursday, Friday? Whoa. Say, for what reason? We just wanted to have a holiday. We just gave the kids off. No, pray for our staff as we're traveling to Pennsylvania for some staff training. We haven't had training in a while. How long has it been, Pastor Seaman?
We watch videos,
but it's not to the a two-day seminar. 3 years since the, All right, very good. Unless it comes back again. If you say it three times, it comes back, so you don't want to do that. All right. This week is going to be a celebration of dark things. Remember, we are children of the light. Light always defeats darkness. Well, my coworkers, they're so in need of Christ. Let's remember that. My neighbors, they're just so in need of Christ. That's what they need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your just perfect words again. With all of our excuses and all our reasoning and all our intelligence, you just undo us. And thank you. Thankful for that. Thank you, God, that you set us free. Thank you for your word that gives us guidance and direction. Lord, help us to not neglect it. Lord, help us to, as we make disciples of others, Lord, that we would use your word, that we would continue in your word. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night. See you later.